due to a little bit of technical difficulties this evening, we're going to be a little old-fashioned, and we're going to go forward this evening without the use of the projector and the slides thereof. However, I do believe for any of those that may be interested, there may still be some copies of the slides and outlines on the back if you'd like to look at those. What we're going to do this evening is we're going to continue to look at the thoughts that we can gain from our command in 2 Peter 3:18. And what I decided to do in this particular portion of the lesson is tried to think of things that we would want to say to a younger Christian or somebody new to the faith so that they may understand what it is that they need to know to grow in grace. Because while we have a responsibility to ourselves first and to make sure that our walk is worthy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we also have the responsibility to go out and to bring others to Him. That's really the responsibility of the church on this earth today. And so there are things that we need to do once we have talked with these people and once they have made a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. What are things that they need to know? Some of the things that a list of general guidelines that I kind of pulled from various sources, just what every Christian needs to know, just getting to the basics. Another thing that was listed was they need to learn about soul winning, and they need to learn how to lead people to Christ. We need to teach them to be able to teach others. They need to be given the understanding of apologetics or the basic answers given to common objections given during that soul winning process. We need to teach them the basic tools to be able to respond to the questions that are going to rise and are going to come up when they're teaching others. We need to talk to them about basic answers to how we know the Bible is true. We need to be able to explain to them how we can know that the Word of God, that the Holy Bible is His inspired Word, that it truly is what it claims to be. We need for them to understand, and we need to help give them a proper understanding of the second coming of Christ. They need to recognize and they need to know that there will come a time when Jesus Christ will return again. And when that time comes, we need to be able to explain to others what it is that's going to take place. There's a lot of confusion in the world today about the end times and what those will be. Our job and our responsibility as Christians is to teach the young Christians and to teach others what that will be like. And then, of course, we need to just make sure that they have the basic fundamentals of Bible doctrine. We need to get back to the basics sometimes. We need to, as we talked about in weeks past, we need to deliver milk first before we can give them solid food. But there are certain things that, this was kind of an overview or a listing that I compiled of various things, but what I want to do is I want to break down some ideas that I've found in Scripture that deal with basically just general principles that all Christians need to live by, but in particular things that we need to be remembering to share with newer Christians and newer converts. And as you can see from our study and our Bible reading just a few moments ago, in Acts the second chapter, verses 40 through 47, we need to show them that people as Christians need to spend time with those who are of like precious faith. As we listened to the reading this evening, we could see they kept talking about how they were together. They were continually together and meeting daily and doing these things. Young Christians need to understand that in order to grow in grace, they need to be putting time in with those of like precious faith. They need to be around those that can have a positive influence on them, as opposed to spending their time with people of the world and allowing their influences to immediately be pulled from what it is they become a part of. We know from Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25, we referenced it earlier this morning, It's been referenced. I'll read it very quickly. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to remind Christians, young Christians in particular, that you will be far better off investing your time and energy with other Christians than you will in investing your time and your energy into those people that we meet in the world today. There's some terms that Paul uses in his letters to the Romans, and I took out those words and put them in the saying. We need to know, reckon, and yield our members to God. As a young Christian, you need to know, reckon, and yield your members to God. Give yourself fully to Him. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. We'll look at verses 6, verse 11, and verse 13, which deal with this idea. Paul writes, beginning in Romans the 6th chapter and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. There we have our knowing. In verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Know and reckon. Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. We need to yield our members. We need to yield our souls, who we are and what we have, to God the Father. And as a young Christian, you need to know up front that you need to be able to do that. As a young Christian, you need to understand that we must decrease, that He must increase, just as John taught and that we've looked at in the Gospels in the evening. They need to understand that there's a giving up of self, that they have to give up themselves and be willing to understand and to listen to others. As a young Christian, we need to understand that we need to cultivate a tender conscience and a love for mankind. We talked a little bit this morning about hate the sin, but love the sinner. We need to develop a conscience that says that, not that I hate that person, but I hate what they're doing. And because I care about that person, I want to go to them and I want to help them. As a Christian, you've said, I want to walk on this earth and make it better for those around us. That's a decision that you have made when you have chosen to become a Christian. And so you need to develop a healthy respect and a healthy love for mankind, because only then are you able to speak to them about the importance of the gospel. You need to be willing and you need to be able to put aside the horrors and atrocities that someone may have committed and recognize that they have just as much right to hear God's word as you did when you were taught. And that there's nothing that they've done that prevents them from being given the right to hear His word. And that may be one of the hardest things in the world for us to do, is to put aside and separate the sin from the sinner himself. But if we're to grow in grace, and if the Lord's church is to grow in this world, then we need to cultivate a tender conscience and a love for mankind. This is taught in Matthew the 5th chapter, looking at verses 38 through 42. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38 and continuing through 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. How many of us can say that if someone slapped us, we would turn the other cheek? Or how many of us can say that when we were slapped, we tried to punch their cheek? If you really stop and you really think about it. But do you have enough love? Have you cultivated a love and an understanding that says that God loves all men? And can you simply say, if that's what you need to do, then hit me on the other side as well? If that's really what you need to do to move forward, then I'll help you move forward. If you need to sue me and you need to take something away from me, here, take a little bit more. If you need something that bad, then I'll help you with what you need. And can you imagine the response that you might receive if you turned your second cheek to somebody? Now, I'm not going to lie, there are some that would probably go ahead and take advantage of the opportunity. And they'd probably let you have it on the other side as well. But the reality is that you have to show a love and a concern for mankind. And if you want to grow in God's grace, you've got to grow in the understanding and the love for his creation. Turn forward in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, and look at verses 31 through 46. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31 and continuing through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, as inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We need to teach, young Christian, and we need to remind ourselves that we need to do good to others around us. When we have opportunity to do good, do we take advantage of that opportunity? If we do, we'll find ourselves growing in grace. If we let those opportunities pass us by, we'll find we're not growing at all, and we're not moving forward. We need to care about the people that are on this earth. Another thing that we can remind young Christians, and something that they need to understand right away, is the simple statement, you are not your own. You belong to someone else now. You are not your own, and therefore there is another whom you answer to and who controls you. And you need to understand that. And you need to understand it from Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to Him, so you glorify Him. You belong to Him, so you are to be used how He wants to use you. You were bought and paid for, and you must respond and live a life to that. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Again, that's Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I don't see anything in either of those two passages that we've looked at that someone can't understand. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Pretty easy to open up the Word of God and be able to teach a young Christian what it means to find a way to grow in grace. And the reality is, and many people that I've spoken to have echoed this very same statement, the more that we're teaching others, the more we find ourselves growing as well. So it's not only a benefit to the one that we're teaching, to that new convert, but it's a reminder to us as well that these are things that we need to be doing. It's like I said, kind of the idea of getting back to the basics. Sometimes we just forget about some of the simple little things that it is that we need to do in order to grow in grace. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying all godliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. He died on the cross so that he might have his own special people. That's Christians today. That's who he owns, who he purchased with his own blood. And again, we must recognize as Christians that we are not our own. We are God's, and as such, we are to do what it is that he would have us to do. We also need to remind young Christians that they need to take advantage of the power of prayer. And this is a tough one, and this is one that I would ask each and every one of us to consider ourselves. Before we say it to someone else, are we doing it ourselves? Are we taking advantage of the power of prayer? And are we reminding those that are just starting out the advantage that it gives to them in their lives? Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and look at verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Do we live a life of prayer? Or when we go out to restaurants with friends and family, or maybe even brothers and sisters in Christ, are we too embarrassed to bow our heads and thank God for his blessings because somebody might see us? Are we ashamed to go to God in prayer? Or are we thankful, and in doing so, are we an example? You know, that's one of my favorite things to see, to go into a restaurant and to see other families come in and see other people stop and pray before they eat and recognize that they see the importance of who God is. And that's a blessing and an encouragement. Now, I don't know anything else about the life that they lead, but I can be encouraged about the fact that there are people out there that remember that it's time to thank God for what He's given to us. And we need to pray without ceasing because we need the strength that comes from prayer. We looked this morning at Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious about it. Take advantage of the calming effect that prayer can have in your life. Take advantage of the opportunity to speak to the Creator of this universe. You have an opportunity to speak one-on-one with the Creator of this universe. Stop and think about what would happen. You want to talk to somebody that has influence. Stop and think of what would happen if you tried to get a one-on-one session with the President of the United States. With all the power that he has and your desire to get to him and to talk to him regarding the power he has, how far do you think you're going to get in being able to do that? But as Christians, you have the opportunity to speak one-on-one to somebody with far greater power than the leader of any nation. And that should give us strength, and that should encourage us, and that will help us grow. Not just it should, it will help us grow if we but do it. Lastly on this thought, James the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer accomplishes much. It will do for you what you're looking for. It will give you peace. You may not always get the answer that you want, but you know what? You get your answer. And that alone allows you not to wonder anymore. And that alone provides just a little bit of peace, even if we don't get the answer that we're looking for. Another thing that we can share with young Christians or those new in the faith is you need to make Christ your standard and nothing else. There can be only one standard to uphold yourself to. If you try to uphold yourself to a whole bunch of different things, you're not going to be able to focus on what you need to focus on. And what you need to focus on is Jesus Christ. And you need to make Jesus Christ the standard that you want to acquire to or attain to. And you need to strive for that. You don't need to acquire to the standard of somebody that you respect in the company that you work for. You don't need to try to aspire to become the man that your father was. That's not the standard that God is looking for from you as a Christian. Your standard is Jesus Christ, and that's whom you should emulate. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 17. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 11. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Stop right there for just a moment. What are we seeing? We're seeing examples of multiple standards. that people are trying to hold themselves to, aren't we? And he's writing to them because this is a problem that needs to be taken care of. We can't make it with multiple standards. It makes it difficult. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Don't say, I am Paul. Don't say, I am of Apollos. Don't say, I am of any other man. Your standard needs to be Jesus Christ. You can eliminate all confusion by focusing on him and him alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. If you want to follow after the things that I do, follow after this one thing. Follow after the fact that I imitate Christ. Follow after the fact that I've made him my standard. And lastly, in this idea, Hebrews the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Three simple words. Looking unto Jesus. Look to the standard who gave himself up for you, and you'll be able to run the race with endurance. The other thing that new Christians need to understand is just because you've decided to be a member of Christ's body doesn't mean that you won't suffer hardships or trials. It's not going to be a rosy, perfect world just because you've been buried in the waters of baptism. As a matter of fact, it may be just a little more difficult at times because of the fact that you chose to be buried in the waters of baptism. We just need to understand that through Christ, we have the strength to get through. Turn, if you would, to Acts the 14th chapter in verses 21 and 22. And consider what was read, consider what's said there. Acts the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We must, through trial and tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. That's a reality. That's a fact. So let's get it out of the way right now. And let's deal with it up front. Let's realize, as a new Christian, you are going to struggle. There's no reason to hide it. There's no reason to downplay it. The best thing we can do is put it out there, recognize it, and then realize that through these tough times, we can be made complete. And this is a reminder in James, the first chapter, and verses 2 and 3. James 1, verses 2 and 3 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Don't fret, don't worry, but count it joy when you're going through trial and temptations. Realize this is to your benefit. We've talked about in our morning classes how sometimes God allows things to happen through evil people. But ultimately, It's for his end. And his end desire for each and every one of us is nothing but good things and a home in heaven. So recognize it. Look to him as the standard for strength. Take advantage of the opportunity of prayer that we've talked about and allow him to work through. One of the more difficult things that they may have to hear is you may have to say no to the wrong activities, and you may even have to give up some old friends. You may need to give up some former things. As much as you may like that individual, it may not be good for you to be around them. They may bring out the worst in you instead of the best. We've talked about evil companions corrupt good morals, or some translations say intentions. So there may be people, or there may be things that we enjoy that we can't do any longer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. Old actions are no longer the same. Old friends may no longer be the same. You begin life anew with new friends, with new actions to do, and new things to gain. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And then a stern warning from Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. This is not a suggestion when you look at these. Look at the words as they're written. It's not, it would be a good idea to do these things. It's a statement, do these things. This is not a suggestion. This is what you need to do. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Think about that. You're not alone in your struggles in the world today. You're not the only one facing false teaching in churches today. Your brotherhood, other people that have made the same decision that you have to follow after Jesus Christ, are suffering through the very same things that you are. And you know what? They're making it. And so can you. But it may require giving up a few things. I often talk about the obvious one for so many people is people that love professional football. And professional football is traditionally done sometime on Sunday. And so very much there are going to be times. Now, there are things we can do to get our way around that. But stop and think about it. If that's a career that I know is going to keep me away from being in church every single week in service without a doubt, do I as an individual, even if I have the talent, maybe need to consider that even something like that is something that I might need to give up? Might have to think about it. Maybe being around those people that are on one of the sports teams that you participate on, be it high school, be it college, maybe they don't always bring out the best in you. Maybe, like we talked about, they allow you to backslide just a little bit when you spend time with them. And so maybe while there's nothing wrong with the activity in and of itself, it may not be in your best interest any longer to be involved in it if it creates too large a distraction. Something to think about. We also need to remember, and we need to teach others, that they need to remain honest and pure in conduct. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among all the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. They may glorify God. Let your actions be honorable among all. Have a good report among people in the world today. Matthew 5:37, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Be honest. Keep it simple. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And there's no reason to go any further or beyond. We've kind of touched on this in various ways in just the things that we've looked at, but Christianity is about self-denial. Christianity is about self-denial. And young Christian, you need to learn that now. If you're ever going to make it in this world, you need to recognize that you need to deny self and follow after Christ. We see that in the story of the rich man, the rich young ruler who comes to Christ, and Christ tells him all of these things that he must do. And it's interesting in that story, the ruler responds, I've done all these things since my youth. And you know what? Christ doesn't disagree with that. Christ doesn't say, no, you haven't. Apparently, this is a man that had done good in his life. And yet, still there was one thing he lacked. Mark the 10th chapter, verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And we find out later that he goes away sad because great were his possessions. We're going to have to deny self. We're going to have to deny certain things that we might enjoy if we're to live the life that God would have us to live. And young Christian, in order to grow in grace, you need to let your light shine. You need to be an example. You need to stick out from the rest. People should be able to recognize by your actions that you're different. People should want to come and ask you, do you go to a church somewhere? Because in the world's mind, in the different religious world, do you go to church somewhere? Are you a religious person? What would cause them to ask that of you? Because they see something different in your conduct. You don't go out to all the bars and go drinking with the men from work. You don't sit and share in the dirty jokes that are being told during break time. When you're out having fun, doesn't require alcohol. And when you're out having fun and maybe you're doing things, and when things don't go your way, you're not using every four-letter word that exists to use today. You're different. And in that, your light shines. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You're a light, so don't try to hide yourself, is what he's saying. Because people don't light a candle and then cover it with something else because it doesn't do a bit of good. But they stick it out there for all to see to their advantage. And then lastly, and maybe this is something we need to be reminded of as Christians who have been Christians for a long period of time, we need to teach them that they are to be soul winners for God. If you want to grow, you need to be out there and you need to be winning souls. You need to be talking to other people, and you need to be bringing them into His fold. That's the work of a Christian. And if you want to grow, that's what you must do. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20, often called the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Again, He doesn't say it would be a good idea if you did this. Did He? It'd be a good idea if maybe you went out and talked to some people about what you believe. Wouldn't hurt. Isn't that kind of maybe how we handle it today? Well, I know it wouldn't be a bad idea. I could probably go out and talk to a few people. Probably wouldn't hurt me in any way. No, that's not what Scripture teaches that we need to do. It teaches us that we need to go and that we need to do it. I'd love to do a lesson that talks about putting the G-O or go back in gospel, because the G-O seems to be missing. And so let's teach it from the beginning. Let's not wait. Let's not hide it and say, "Man, you know, someday down the road it might be difficult for you, but you're going to need to talk to other people about this." Don't hide it. Teach it to them while they're young in the faith. Let them know ahead of time that this is the way it is. Be upfront about it and show them how to do it. Because the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. Let's attack it at the beginning, and let's teach it at the beginning, and it'll be understood. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, listen to the words of Paul. "For I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Do we feel that way about it? Do we feel compelled? Do we feel constrained to share the Word of God? Is it something that we feel we have to do? And if not, then comes the tough question. If not, why not? What is it that's holding us back? And maybe it's that we haven't been taught since early on that this is what being a child of God is all about. You want to know everything there is to know about being a child of God, and it's my responsibility to share that with you. Whether I think it may frighten you or not, if I can just be upfront and I can just be honest, then people know what it is they're getting into, if you want to put it in today's vernacular. They know what they're being put into. And lastly, consider his exhortation in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Your receiving the gospel is of no value to others in this world but you, unless you're willing to share it with others. And aren't we supposed to be a shining light to the world? Aren't we supposed to help be a benefit to those around us? Young Christian, you've made a very serious decision. You've made a decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You've made a decision to be a worker for His kingdom. Young Christian, you've made a decision that you're going to grow in grace and you're going to spread the good news. That's what we need to remind the new Christian or the young in the faith. And that's something that we need to remember ourselves as well. Are we just telling the young Christians what they need to be doing, or are we living a life that shows them in our actions what it is that they too need to be doing. That's the lesson of the hour. I have not yet decided. My studies this week may determine whether or not we look at a few more ideas from Growing in Grace or whether we move on to some other topics. But I think it's very important that we realize just how much impact there is in the Word of God and just how much impact there can be from one simple verse that teaches an awful lot. If there's any here that have any need at this time for the help of the congregation, we invite you to make that known while we stand in